People of God, thanks be to God. Unveiled glory. Have you ever wondered what that has to look like or what that must look like? You know, we just heard Taylor read about Moses and how when he stood in the presence of the Lord, in the midst of God's glory and light, that light became reflected upon him, such that he glowed. It almost felt a little bit to me like that radioactivity stuff that happens, that when you get in contact with something radioactive, or better yet, what we might all understand is glitter. If you ever get in contact with glitter that shines and glows, have you ever noticed when you leave, the glitter is all over you? And that you can't get rid of the glitter? Well, that is the glory of the Lord that shone upon Moses' face. And that whenever Moses spoke God's word to God's people, the veil was uncovered so that it wasn't Moses, the leader of the Israelites, speaking. They could know that it was through Moses that the glory of the Lord, that God's commandments, would speak. And then he would cover again so that they would know that whatever else comes next out of his mouth was the words of Moses. But what Paul is reminding us of is that the law, which Moses represents, remember when I was telling the children, Moses was on one side and Elijah was on the other, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But the law had to fade. So the light that we see, the glory of the Lord that is in the law, begins to fade. Because the glory of the Lord that is in Christ Jesus never does. He's the glitter that will never go away. I don't care what kind of vacuum cleaner you have. I don't care what kind of washing you do. When the glory of the Lord is upon you, it stays. The only thing that we might do as a body of Christ is sometimes veil it. That sometimes we don't shine forth that glory that is within us. And that is a little bit of what is going on here with Paul and the people in Corinth, because they're fighting over the teaching of the gospel message. What does it mean? What does it mean that God came in all his glory in Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, who suffered, died, and was resurrected and ascended into heaven? How do we know that this man is God's glory enfleshed? We know because we experience it. Not only do we read it and study it and pray about it and worship it, we experience it in our lives. We experience it through those who shine forth God's glory upon us. You might be wondering, well, what does that look like? And I'll bet each of you has had an experience that you could say, oh, that's what that looks like. And I want to share one such experience that I had that just happened to happen last night. Last night, as we were all gathered, I won't say that there was one body or another body that shone even more bright. But if anyone was in that room, in that fellowship hall at one point, and listened to the laughter, and saw strangers become friends, saw children, youth, and adults hand in hand working together, because they knew that the goal of that event was to empower youth to be made into better disciples of Jesus Christ, you could see the glory of the Lord shine upon us. That God was shining in and through even those of you who were bidding more than your spouses might have wanted you to bid for a cake. And who maybe went home with a cake you had no intention of even walking out with. But God's glory was visible even there. We want to think that it's in that mountaintop experience all the time. We want to think that it's always in those moments of wonder and grace that we can talk about, like when our child is baptized. Or when we as adults were baptized and immersed and came up. And have you ever said to someone, you're glowing? Have you ever used those words? You are glowing with the goodness of the Lord. That's when the glory of the Lord is unveiled. It is not only unveiled in the person who is glowing, but in the one who sees the light that is shining out. But Paul reminds us that that's not always going to be easy. I want us to listen very carefully to what we did not read. As it goes on in the gospel, as it goes on in Paul's letter, he says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." In their case, the God of this world has blinded their mind, the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unbelievers are perishing. Unbelievers cannot see the light and glory of God unveiled because they have not experienced it. They have not been told about it. They have not been witnessed to. And the God of this world is not the God in heaven. It is not the God our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is not God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God of this world is Satan. And the God of this world wants us to be veiled, wants the glory of God to be veiled so that the world cannot see God's glory and God's power and God's might and God's plan for the world. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be unveiled glory in the world. We are called to be that light shining in the darkness. We are called to be the one that stands beside our loved ones who are sick and dying. We are called to be the ones who stand beside our youth who are working to become better disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to go into those places where people are hungry and thirsty and need to know that not only does God love them, but God loves them through us and what we can do with and for them through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The God of glory is unveiled in this world, and it is only us who choose to put those blinders upon it and follow the God of the world named Satan. But I can tell you, Satan doesn't reside here. Satan has no place in this house. God's glory shines from here and shines through here and shines out into the world. When we wonder about God's glory unveiled, it is unveiled here in this presence of bread and cup. It does not get transfigured and get transformed, but it is God's presence, Christ's presence, real to us as we are real to us. When two or three are gathered, God is there, that Christ is there. And I want to share one final word before I get a little bit too wound up and have no voice. I promise, one last word. It comes from Daniel, though. Because Daniel reminds us in the end times that there will be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting light, others to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. God's glory is that bright and shining light that is in your life in a way that you don't often pay attention to because we get involved in the darkness of the world. So spend time in this time of Lent to getting to know the glory of our Lord. Allow it to be unveiled from your eyes so that you might see God shining through you. And we here at Plank Chapel might be that beacon of light that in this darkness in Vance County that seems to consume us, people can see light, life, hope, peace, grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation. It is why we come to the table. It is why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Because it is our cause, Christ's cause. Because it is our call to spread the gospel message of salvation to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.